A New Look at God's Law. Chapter 6. The commandment people break without knowing it. You shall not murder. Could people break a commandment of God without realizing what they are doing? The sixth one says, you shall not murder. How could anyone break that commandment and not realize what he is doing? God has displayed the answer for all the world to see. It's the crucifixion of Christ. Those who did it broke the sixth commandment. Here were Jews and Gentiles together, murdering the Son of God, and he prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When Jesus prayed that Friday morning for those who were killing him, his prayer embraced all the world, for the solemn truth is that by nature we today are no better than those people were then. We are fortunate that we weren't there that day to take part in the deed, but in principle we were there, like the old Negro spiritual that asks, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The answer is yes. Why do they do it? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and we all by nature are born with a carnal mind. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's the mind we have by nature until, by the grace of God, we learn the gospel and are converted. It is then that Jesus' prayer for us is answered, and we experience or receive his forgiveness. He forgave us at the cross itself, but only when we believe it do we know peace. There was a thoughtful man, Horatius Bonner, who wondered how it could be possible that he would join in crucifying Christ if he had been there that day. My whole soul would revolt against taking part in such a deed, he said to himself. Then one night he had a dream in which he witnessed the rude, cruel soldiers driving spikes through Jesus' wrist bones and ankle bones and stringing him up on the cross. In his agony, the dream was so realistic, Bonner grabbed hold of one of the soldiers, shook him by the neck and yelled at him, "Don't do this awful deed!" Then the soldier turned around to look at him, and to his horror he saw himself as in a mirror. Paul understood the truth that all the world is guilty before God, and there is none righteous, no, not one, there is none who understands. We are born self-centered with this raw impulse to claw our way to the top, even if we have to climb over everybody else to get there. Look at the wars that have plagued this planet. Soldiers who never wanted to kill anybody go wild with rage in the heat of battle and shoot in all directions. Many a person who has lost his her temper has been saved from the physical act of murder only because there was no loaded gun at hand to use. We only kid ourselves when we say, I could never do that. Remember Peter? He protested loudly that he could never deny his Lord, but he did it three times before the rooster crowed that next morning. We are by nature no better than poor Peter. The people who were close to the crucifixion of Christ realized the enormity of that deed when the finally converted Peter told them, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Trembling, they cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized that they had participated in the greatest sin of all the ages, and yet had not known it. The apostles said, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Just as an oak tree is in the acorn, so murder lies buried in the thought or impulse of hatred. God can see the towering, massive oak tree when the little acorn in the ground sprouts. So John says, Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus says, You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Too bad the people who heard him say that didn't take it to heart before they acted out their anger in the murder of the Son of God. The violent anger that permeates our movies and TV programs is the spirit of Satan actually taking possession of human hearts. Hatred blazes in people's eyes, and too much of it explodes within the family. Two spirits are locked in a death struggle, the spirit of Satan and the spirit of Christ. Human hearts are the arena for the conflict. Anger can be the blazing, violent kind, or it can be the silent, cold dislike or contempt that inwardly wishes its enemy could be destroyed. Both are the cold, wicked sin of murder, because they are acorns, waiting only for time to develop into the oak trees. Parents, watch out for those little acorns in the hearts of your children. Their childish anger may appear ever so innocent, even fun to watch, but beware. Too many fathers and mothers years later have had to sit in courtrooms and watch their sons or daughters arraigned. A man and his wife stopped going to church because the pastor preached a sermon in which he spoke of corporate guilt. That is, that the sin of someone else would be our sin but for the grace of Christ. He was making the point that everybody needs the Savior, and we do not know or realize the depth of sin that is lurking beneath the surface of our own hearts. We think we're okay, not knowing what we are capable of doing. This offends us, the couple said. We're not that bad. Sometime later, hubby was out in the front yard working on the lawn when the neighbor stopped by. The conversation turned sour and bitter, and he got hot under the collar. Grabbing his shovel, he was on the point of lunging at his neighbor, when suddenly his face grew white, he trembled, he dropped the shovel, and fled into the house. Mama, I almost did it! I never dreamed I could get so angry! Do you suppose that's what the pastor meant when he told us of the buried evil that is in our human hearts? She asked. Then they started coming to church again. Rightly understood, that sixth commandment is good news of salvation already accomplished for us. When it says, "You shall not murder," it becomes an assurance that God will save you from ever incurring that guilt if you will believe the prologue to the Ten Commandments. The house of bondage. Is this evil of selfishness into which we have been born as natural descendants of Adam? That love of self has a vice-like grip on us which nothing can break loose except the salvation of God. But Christ has broken that vice-like grip. The Father sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, so that he condemned sin in the flesh, our flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. There is the blessed assurance in the sixth commandment. Thus Christ was tempted as we are tempted to be angry, yet he said, no, to the temptation and always kept his human anger under total control of his love. No one has ever suffered greater provocation to anger than Jesus suffered. The needling, the constant unreasonable opposition, the hatred of the leaders of his people, all this subjected him to enormous personal pressure to be impatient, to let his temper fly. His disciples cracked under only a tiny amount of the same pressure that he endured. Once they were sent to a Samaritan village to find a hotel where Jesus could spend the night while he was on his journey to Jerusalem. The Samaritans there were eaten up with narrow-minded prejudice and refused to receive him. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? Throughout the ages, how many professed Christians, even church leaders, have had the same short fuse when they meet people who do not agree with their view of things. They may not have had power to bring down fire on them from heaven, but they have had the power to put innocent, persecuted people in prison and even to take their lives. Millions have been martyred. But Jesus would not sanction any such outburst of anger from his followers, whether the anger is righteous or otherwise. He turned and rebuked the impatient disciples and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. There's that same. You do not know. The sixth commandment is the one that many professed Christians during the dark ages have broken and didn't know what they were doing. Instead of being angry at this village that would not receive him, Jesus quietly, calmly withdrew. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives but to save them. And they went to another village. There was a better solution to the problem than getting angry. Another village welcomed him. His same character of calmness under provocation is what he gladly gives to anyone who will believe the prologue to the Ten Commandments. What a blessing! You become a prince or princess among your fellow men. You are greater than the sports stars, more powerful than army generals. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. But my problem is that I don't know how to control my anger. When I become angry, my eyes get red, I start to shake all over, my temper goes wild, and I can't control myself. Yes, you are the one who needs the good news in this sixth commandment. It's not some little trick of magic that Jesus has promised you. It's deliverance that he has already given you from this terrible sin. I have brought you out of this house of bondage. He says, the chains are broken already. You can say, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. In other words, you will walk in freedom because you seek, that is, you love, these 10 grand assurances of righteousness by faith in Christ. Not everybody understands how good the good news is. How many once happy marriages are ruined by one or both spouses blowing his or her top in an angry exchange of bitter words. Then, once spoken, the angry exchange smolders like fire and the formerly tender relationship is killed or at least wounded. Children and parents are forever alienated by such bitter outpourings of anger. Friends are separated. Wars, massacres, and ethnic cleansings come from such bitterness. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Jesus was sent from heaven with a specific assignment to save the world, and he has done it. He broke the devil's neck and has paralyzed him. Satan can no longer force you to do his bidding. He is a paraplegic. Christ has set you free. You are no longer in the Egypt of slavery to sin. Learn from me, he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There are sincere, good people who know they are chained in a prison. They don't want to be slaves to their lust, their passion, or their satanic evil tempers. To their neighbors or to coworkers at the office, they appear on the outside to be saints. But when they are at home, or in some place where they think they are on top, then the pressure builds and they explode. Some spend thousands of dollars on psychiatrists, hoping to find deliverance. To all comes the good news. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That is, believe and appreciate what he has already endured in your behalf. Then you can't break that sixth commandment. Appreciate what he accomplished by his sacrifice in Gethsemane and on his cross. Let your selfish heart become entwined with his heart. Identify with him. Kneel down beside him as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. Watch him as he accepts the suffering and death of the cross, the eternal separation from his Father, all for your sake. The death he died was not what we call sleep, but the real thing. Thus he died your second death, endured the curse of God, that you might go free. Sin has already been forever vanquished. Get on your knees and thank him. The Sacramento Bee recently published an article that said, the exercise that you need is to get down on your knees and pray. Yes, not to convince God or beg him to bless you. He is more willing to give a blessing than you are to receive it. But your prayer is to thank him for already delivering you from the house of bondage. Your prayer of thanksgiving will be the beginning of your realized deliverance.